Hello, everybody, and welcome to All Talk, All Ashes, the podcast that covers all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Ferenczi, the Variety MMO gamer, and I'm joined by my brother, Subjective.
Hello.
And welcome. If you're not familiar, again, our podcast is here to kind of break down all the information on Ashes of Creation, streams, conversations, hopefully just kind of dig into things and kind of use our experience. So hopefully enjoy that if you do. We definitely would love to have you as a subscriber on YouTube or follow us on subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform of choice. We are diving right in. We are fresh off of watching the most recent developer update. But I think we're going to, you know, stick to our kind of current plan here and just kind of dig into, you know, we play other things beyond, you know, just watching and playing MMOs. So what have you been up to and playing this week, Sub?
Overwatch 2 mostly. Just not much.
Yeah, same with me, honestly. Just a bit of Overwatch 2. It was a pretty hectic week for me. So I haven't really dug into... Honestly, really much more than that, just a few games here and there, but yeah, so it's pretty cool. But weekly updates, we're going to give, if there's anything interesting that pops up, you know, like on socials or anything like that, we'll give a little bit of information here. Again, we're not going to try to spoil too much, just to give you kind of a clue, maybe if you want to go back and look in case you missed something. There's a couple of cool posts actually on Twitter, going a little bit more again into that wand spec. So they obviously had the wand mastery was their last kind of developer update along with some lighting, but they had some cool stuff about beam damage, and there's kind of like these keen and echo setups that can kind of set you up for more damage, which I think is really cool. I'm just excited to kind of see more things that they kind of do with these weapon masteries and maybe give you some different type of builds. Which we might even hit on a little bit here because it was discussed in the developer update. There's also, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend people go check out the Storm Snapper Rangefinder mount. It looked really, really cool. It's like a big turtle mount that you can get and had like a big old telescope on it, which I thought looked really cool. Definitely worth kind of checking out some of those pictures if you're interested in such things. But yeah, we're diving straight in. Obviously, this is kind of our monthly video that focuses on reacting to the developer update, in this case, the May 2024. And this week's or this month's topic for the developer update, I should say, was Node Wars, which is something we've obviously covered a good bit in the past. But we actually finally got to see some video, some concrete details, things talked about in more depth, which is really, really exciting. Obviously, I think PvP is a major focus here. But we actually did get to see some PvE focused things as well. So that was kind of, you know, maybe if you're not as into PvP, there could be some things that we're going to talk about. I think for this episode, we're really going to kind of like highlight the things that really interested us and talk about them. And then maybe if we have some time, we might go back and just kind of highlight some other things or talk about some other things that interested us. I may even do a separate video, kind of giving like a quicker rundown of all the things that got discussed in case maybe you don't have 3+ hours. It was a really long a video developer update, which was awesome. But I think we're just going to go ahead and kind of dive right in, starting out with some of the stuff we saw. One of the things I wanted to talk about first was that Steven mentioned that I thought was kind of hitting on some of those end game loops was that the fact that gear is going to be more focused on maybe the particular situation, which I thought was pretty cool. And this has to do with like your character and their archetype and their class and their spec too. But like based on, you can like get different type of gear to like fit different type of situations, which I think I've mentioned a little bit in the past, but I'm really excited for that because to me, that's like, it's not about just chasing the one set of gear, like, you know, overall that's best in slot. But like, I like the idea of that. We're much more in tune to the idea that, hey, we're trying to find the best gear for the best situation. So like that gives me something maybe to do if I'm a blacksmith or if I'm, you know, trying to find certain items and gear like in dungeons or wherever. But I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, maybe it's going to be more based on the situation. So that'll give us something maybe a little bit more to do in the end game. I don't know if you think that's interesting or cool based on all your MMO experience, but.
Yeah, sorry about the short intro. I just said hello because we just actually just finished watching that 3-hour video and I'm still processing it all. It was crazy. But yeah, WoW does this kind of with like different talent. I'm going to compare it to World of Warcraft kind of. WoW kind of does this with different, like different specs for different, or at least talent tree specs for different, like, things. Like, if you're in a single target fight, you might do certain talents and stuff. And if you're in, like, big, you know, you need more AoE, you'll do more AoE talents. So maybe you're just a PvPer, and maybe you want a set that does more AoE damage for those big fights, and maybe you just want a set for when you're 1v1 and out in the world, or something small scale stuff where you could do heavy single target damage and AoE doesn't really matter too much. I'm not opposed to collecting, like, different types of gear for different encounters. It's just, like, I just hope it doesn't go too crazy with it, you know? Like, and WoW, eventually they started going crazy with it, with, like, having, you know, your PvE set, your PvP set. Like, some people would even go way further with it. Like, they would just, like, stack health regen so they could solo old raids back in the day when it was harder. I mean, that's all cool and fun. I'm not opposed to that. Like, I do like some of that goofy stuff, too. So, I really just want to, again, it's one of those things where it's like, what do they mean by this? Is it, like, are you going to have AoE-based sets? Are you going to have single target damage sets? Are you going to have raid boss sets? Maybe you want to take less damage or something. I mean, I really don't know what the route they're going with this, but so I gotta, like I said, I gotta see how it plays out to really give a more thorough opinion, but I guess I'm kind of, like, theorizing which directions they could go on with it. So, I mean, I do enjoy this gameplay loop, and I just, I'm hoping they shake it up a little, because everything they've done, they've shaken up a little bit, so we'll see what they do.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just the fact that they're, again, I definitely wouldn't want, like, oh, you need, like, 100 sets of armor, you know, based on, like, you know, very situational things, like, all right, I'm going to be doing more AoE damage in a PvP setting, I'm going to be doing more AoE damage in, you know, another type of setting, right? I think that's too extreme. But I did like, and I think Steven kind of touched on it, like, hey, like, you might need a set of gear more geared for, you know, doing dungeons, right? And that is kind of one of the nice things about this game, is there's a lot of different things you can potentially get into, right? Or, hey, like, I'm going to be doing a caravan run, maybe I need to be and I'm going to be kind of like the tank, so I want to be a little bit more bulky, right, so I can kind of protect the caravan, you know, whatever. Like, I'll be interested to see if it goes that far in depth, but I definitely thought it was something just kind of cool, like, you know, because I know a lot of people love gear chasing, right? That is something, like, that a lot of people spend time in other MMOs. So, you know, for those folks, I think it'll be pretty cool. I hope it's not too crazy, but I do hope it gives some variety and some different ways people can kind of interact with the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's either an endless loop of upgrades each season, like traditional MMOs do it, or variety for different situations. Like hopefully, like I said, my biggest thing is like, if I'm going to go into PvP, like, if I could just swap to, like, an AoE build, say there's, like, more and more players join and I want more AoE very easily, I don't mind stuff like that. But if it starts getting too crazy, then it's going to be like, oh boy, like, what? Like, I mean, I don't mind having, like, two sets on me, one for single target and one for, like, AoE for PvP reasons. But, you know, if it goes, like, too crazy, then it starts getting into the annoying kind of phase, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It definitely, there's a fine line, I think, with a lot of things. And I think, you know, gear is definitely one of them. If it's more like, hey, I got to get my PvP gear, or hey, I got to get out my, you know, gear that enables this build, right? I think that's okay, as long as it doesn't get too wild. But we're going to keep chugging along here. We're going to try to keep things not too long for you. So, again, if you're just trying to get some of the highlights, again, things that we thought were pretty cool. We also saw that our last podcast, if you haven't checked it out, was about mayors and kind of like their roles in Ashes of Creation. And we got to see the mayor in action for, I think, the first time in Ashes of Creation. And hopefully, again, sounds like they'll be available during Alpha 2. Right. And so it was really cool. They had a lot of different abilities and things that they could kind of mandate and things that they could do. And one of the things I thought was really cool was that mayors can, again, kind of choose these commissions. And based on the commissions that they choose, can also give, you know, players within that node buffs, which I think is awesome. Right. I think anytime you can, you know, have kind of like a grand, you know, kind of thing going on in the background that's going to reward players for participation in whatever the mayor decides to do. Maybe it's, hey, like, we really want to build, we really want to push to building, you know, a smithy, you know, having like, we want like an armor smith in the town. We want that to be part of our node. And maybe, again, by completing it, you get some buff like that increases your ore mining or whatever, right? They give a bunch of different examples. We saw a few different things going on. Obviously, this was more focused on like the node wars, but we saw a lot of different types of commissions that the mayors can give. But I think that's awesome, because that, I think, you know, just having like these types of missions is cool. We saw these types of things, you know, in some other MMOs like New World, but I think really giving and rewarding people, like whether it's through buffs or whether it's maybe like a material award, I think it's going to really help kind of get people invested and motivate them and, you know, get them involved in whatever the mayor kind of decides is like the direction of the node as a whole.
Yeah. And we talked a lot about this in the last podcast, but the biggest thing I saw about this wasn't just what the mayor can do, but it's also what the players can reject,
right?
Which is kind of cool. So as much as I'd like to see what the mayor could do and stuff, but it's very strategic, because the mayor could choose a commission that the player is just outward. The mayor has to be very engaged, because if the players choose to reject a commission, then you wasted that cooldown. So the mayor has to be very in tune with its, I guess, citizens or whatever. So, like, being a mayor isn't just about, oh, you pick this and then, like, it's strategic. Like, you can't pick, like, if you choose to go to war, you can outright, the citizens could just outright reject doing that commission, and then it won't trigger. So, I thought that was probably the coolest thing I saw about mayors, because, like I said, they need to be more, like, we talked about this a lot. Last podcast, could a mayor just be, you know, a colossal a-hole, right?
Yeah.
And just do whatever. I guess you could, but then the people of the node will get mad and just vote in a new mayor eventually. So it's like, you can be like that and choose stupid commissions, but like, you're not going to hold on to your power, because they'll just vote someone else in.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that the citizens have a lot of control. Like I said, we talked about that. I kind of talked about this, I don't want to go into too depth, but I kind of talked on how I would run it, like a democracy, like the vote, like what commissions we would go on and stuff. And it's almost like when the mayor chooses a commission, he kind of wants to do that, because if he doesn't pick the right commissions, then, you know, they might not reelect you. And I was happy to see that, actually.
Yeah, I think it adds like this really cool like role-playing element. Like, hey, like maybe within this node we have like, you know, a bunch of guilds, right? And the mayor might have to get close to those other guilds, even if they're in their own, because, you know, if you set up these commissions and the players don't like participate, then like you may not be able to get the stuff done that you want. And the example that we saw basically, and they kind of like sped through it. Obviously it's meant to take potentially, you know, many hours, many days to kind of like meet the goals of these commissions to get these buffs, to allow for certain things to be triggered, such as going to war, which is kind of like the big thing they did. But, you know, it is something that you're going to have to really like, you know, kind of be a politician if you're a mayor and like get to know like, hey, like, will people support me? Is this actually what people want too? It's not necessarily just what I want. And they kind of had like the system was set up where they were doing preparations for war was the commission. And in theory, like if it was the actual game, you'd have to go out and get a bunch of, I think they called it like tier one resources, whatever that may end up being. And you know, if potentially you don't want to go to war, right, then, you know, you might not participate. You might not get those tier one items. So, that was definitely really, really cool to see. And I'm glad to kind of see that, because it does give more, you know, agency to players. Like, hey, this mayor is not doing what we want. We don't want to be focused on mining and, you know, smithing. We want to actually go in, you know, another direction. Like, I don't know, like, woodcrafting, I don't know, who knows, but it just kind of gives a lot more choice to the players, and it does kind of force the mayor to be kind of involved and kind of, you know, add some of that role playing and social element to the game, which I'm always a huge fan of in games for sure.
Yeah, like, and Steven said that during the dev update, he said he wanted to put the M back in MMO, but I'm my phrase is like, I want to put the MM back in MMO, the massively multiplayer part. obviously. And again, that's the engaging with your citizens. You want to be a good mayor and get reelected. You have to do these things. You maybe go to the tavern and talk to players when they're there. So again, Ashes are doing, like I said, a lot of things they are doing is kind of what we said in our previous podcast with theory crafting. Which is awesome because, this is what I want from Ashes. So I
Right.
feel like they really, really, get it. I mean, obviously no game is perfect, and there may be things I don't agree with. Like we'll get into that a little later in the podcast, but the mayor system, from what we know and what they showed off in this dev update, was fantastic. And like I said, this is only scratching the surface. So, give me more. Let's see what else they do with it.
Yeah, and I will just say too, overall, I was incredibly impressed by this kind of dev update. There's a lot of different things going on. There's a lot of big things going on. They got into some of the nitty-gritty, so it was really cool, for
Yeah,
sure.
it was definitely, I felt like I got a lot of information I wanted out of this, especially from the Node War system.
Yeah, we try to take pretty thorough notes, and like there is even things that obviously weren't even highlighted that we saw too, and we kind of made note of, and we might dig into some of those later. But just really cool, a lot of mechanics. It does give me a lot of hope that we are going to see like a the Alpha 2 release sometime during quarter three, because there's a lot of systems in place. Things I got to work on, obviously, but they are headed the right direction. But yeah, we're gonna move along, and so I think we actually both kind of hit on this point. So I'll kind of tag team, which something that we learned, and we learned more about it. They kind of touched it at the beginning of the dev update, and they actually dug in a little bit deeper at the end, which was there's multiple types of potential node wars that can happen, and the objectives and the goals can kind of change based on what. The mayor wants to do, maybe what the people in that node want to do. Some of the examples that they gave were like at the end, they mentioned like the initial was kind of like, oh, we're here to like fight over territory, so kind of like fighting in over points of interest. But they also kind of said like, hey, like you might be able to do things like denial of service type missions as part of like these node war mechanics, or kind of getting into it with other nodes, like shutting down caravans, which again might affect trade and other things happening, and or like maybe you can stop or prevent certain buildings from being constructed, right? So there's kind of like that competitive back and forth between nodes. Like maybe you're not gearing up for a full-scale war, but you want to like deny them getting access to certain things, which I thought was incredibly cool. I know you kind of pointed out like they also mentioned like gold siphoning is something that could happen potentially. Maybe you're stealing gold from another node, which again obviously can have a lot of benefits for your node. Or even like a mayor, the mayor of your node temporarily taking mayorship of an enemy node, and maybe kind of messing around with that and doing some different things. That it's really, I mean, just the fact that like they're thinking about these type of kind of different types of wars or different missions within kind of like the war, and like kind of the impact they can have, I think is going to lead to a lot of strategic discussion and a lot of strategic back and forth between these nodes as they're kind of like, as they're growing, as they're getting bigger, and there's kind of like that competitive nature. I think it's going to lead to a lot of really fun things going forward for sure.
Yeah, and it's more than just the, oh, we're just gonna, like I said, they showed a pretty basic node war objective in the thing where you go fight over some territory and whoever wins gets, their territory expands, they get node XP, that little area gets a buff to encourage people to go there and farm. But these multiple types of potential war types are awesome because it's just more about, it's more than just like, oh, we're gonna go fight over territory all the time, right? Steven gave a great example here. Like, maybe the node next to you has the best blacksmith and you don't have that, but you do a denial of service mission and you actually shut that blacksmith down for X amount of time, right? And then your blacksmith is the best blacksmith, so people will come to your node and give your economy a boost at the same time. That kind of stuff is just really awesome to me. Obviously, they're gonna have to do a lot of balancing around this because, if you could siphon gold and stuff, I mean, it starts getting into, crazy territory of like, who can You know, I mean, maybe just people just siphon gold all the time, and because that would be the best way of, you know, denying a node certain things. So balance is going to be key here, but it's really cool that they are looking into more than just, you know, just, oh, go to here, capture this territory, and then proceed on, right? I mean, territory capture is fun too, but having different types of sabotage or just anything is also fun, and it keeps the gameplay loop fresh and keeps the politics and drama of two nodes at war, you know, high, because you just don't know where your enemy's planning unless you have spies. So I think this keeps it fresh, and like I said, it adds more of that player controlled element, which is great for any type of PvP game because that's content. If players create the content, it's to me, it's just more fun. And with that type of freedom, I like I said, it's gonna be fun watching this play out in Alpha 2 and how unrestricted it is. Obviously, they'll have to make adjustments if it's too broken, but you know, it'll be just fun to see, like, oh, if someone found a thing where they could siphon gold infinitely or something, or it's too powerful or something, and that's where the I guess it kind of gets fun. But yeah, I want to see even more things. Like I hope they keep going down this path. Like I'm just gonna throw out a random idea I had. Maybe you could sabotage an area in a node, like their land they control it, but all the mobs there are like harder, like significantly harder to kind of like slow down, like I don't know, glint grinding or just whatever. It would be kind of a cool random thing I guess I could do.
Yeah, no, for sure. Something like that would be really interesting, and I'm sure the Alpha 2 will definitely be a good test for balancing. And I did like that they talked about like all these different types of, you know, maybe subsets of war or parts of the war that you can kind of get into. Again, we kind of saw the basic version; they were just kind of fighting over certain areas. But I think it was a good start, right? And I'm glad they are going to implement different types of ways to get involved, like in these wars. And I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be really fun that, you know, I'm definitely a person like, you know, I make the comparison for, you know, if I'm playing like a shooter game, like if I only have team deathmatch, I'm going to get bored really fast, no matter how good the game is. But if there's a lot of variety, like, and it does seem like there is like these different type of missions that you can dig into, that's really going to keep me hooked, is having like different ways and like getting into like some of the bigger stuff, like the subterfuge, and as well as like the just kind of the ongoing, you know, like, hey, like this node is like really getting out of hand, like they're starting to get like, you know, bigger, like we got to keep them in check, you know. So like that's going to be a lot of fun, that like back and forth, and kind of like the different ways you can do that, whether it's like taking temporary control of a node, or you know, maybe stealing some gold and using that gold and putting that into your own like smithy if you're like kind of competing back and forth. I think that's gonna be fun. I can't wait to see all the stuff that kind of comes out of that for sure.
Oh yeah, bring it on. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you wanted to touch on one of the next things was like, because we talked about like some of the buffs you can get like within, you know, kind of participating for like these commissions, but there's also going to be like personal rewards for the node wards, for the node wars and node rewards. I don't know if you wanted to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, that I thought that was great. Like, not only do you get a personal reward for participating, but you also the like I said, your node that you're part of, which you want to succeed, obviously also gets a reward. So you get a reward, then and your node gets a reward, which I think is great because it encourages active you know, God, I can't figure out
Participation. Yep.
participation. Sorry,
I
it
understand.
encourages active participation, and that's good in my opinion. Like I said, hopefully they have more than just like I said, people ask, I think someone asked a question is like maybe crafters like maybe you don't like PvP and you want to do crafting to contribute to the war or something, and like I hope they do expand it some more than just like the people fighting out in the field over the territory or whatever's going on at the moment. So like, you know, maybe like I said, you contribute some weapons to the battle or siege equipment, and like you're not there at the battle, but you get a contribution reward, so you get that personal reward also and your node benefits. So that would be a great thing to see because not everyone likes PvP. So giving people rewards for participating while not actually PvPing is also, I think, a good thing too. Like I said, you could do crafting or whatever they can think of, and like I said, and I do think that's great. This way you can still contribute, but you don't, are not forced to do the content you do not want to do.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I thought that was really cool. And something that I was going to even mention too was just kind of like, the fact that even in what they showcased, right? So there was kind of this node war. Obviously, there was a lot of like fighting and like control over these like certain territories. They had like objectives they had to complete. Like they had to get these rubies, right? And like get these kind of, or I think there's some kind of like rubies they had to require. And there's a couple different ways you could do it. Like one of them was PvP, right? You could just kill people and take their rubies that they've accumulated. But there's also like options for potentially, you could end up in PvP, but like maybe if you're not as into like the full scale like wars and things like that and getting involved in that, like hey, like maybe you go off to like I think they had to go to like kill some bandits to get these like rubies or some other thing as well. And I thought that was really fun too, because maybe you have friends that aren't as big into like the full scale hardcore PvP, but maybe they can assist kind of in the Node War 2 by going off and killing these NPCs and kind of like getting the necessary materials and things like that, which I think is great, right? Give people that aren't just solely interested in, maybe they're invested in the Node War itself, right? Because it benefits them, but maybe they're not as like super into PvP, so there's hopefully going to be some different options for them to get involved. And I love that. I think that's a good thing for, even though I love PvP.
It is, but PvP can be intimidating for some people. So giving them an option to, like, I don't know, craft me a siege weapon because I like being out there in the field, and they give it to me and I go out there and use it, they still get a participation reward is a great idea, and I hopefully they do that. I did not catch if they said that was going to be a thing, but I do think they're going to have it, make it so crafters can do stuff like that. So another great. This is what you call a W for Ashes of Creation, because I don't like segment. I don't want people who want to play the game for crafting to be felt like they're left out. They can at least contribute without feeling like, oh, well, I'm a part of the no. They're out there fighting the battle. And maybe like some people don't like PvP, but they can still contribute to the war without they're out there farming the mats for the siege weapons or whatever. I mean, you probably have probably a million different things I could do. But I mean, it's just one way of giving them a way to participate without being intimidated by a certain system of the game like PvP, which is obviously pretty highly skill based, and some people just don't like it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think I'm just more excited the fact that Steven acknowledged and some of the developers acknowledged that there's different types of play styles, and they're not just necessarily catering to only one style. In this case, it might be like the PvPer, right? And one of the other things they did mention too is based on like winning the war and like other things that you can kind of do within the war, right? You can actually get buffs that benefit everyone in the node, right? Which is really cool. I know we talked about it a little bit before, but this is potentially going to benefit PvPers and PvE players as well, depending on like what types of missions you undertake and what type of war you undertake. So I think that's a really good thing, right? Because to me, it's all about getting investment. Like when you talk about these big kind of end game gameplay loops, in this case Node Wars, right? You want to try to get as many people invested as you can, not just the PvPers. And so whether it's crafters, whether it's people that go around killing NPCs and getting objectives done, like I think that's going to be really, really critical to kind of getting everybody invested. And these Node Wars, I think, are going to be massive for driving people to like being invested in their node and being invested in the things that are kind of going on on a bigger scale beyond them.
Yep. Like I said, I just can't wait to get my hands on it. And like I said, what they showed today, it's really feels like they really thought it out, and they know the direction they want to take it in, and obviously are looking for feedback to even make it better. So I love it.
Yeah, definitely. And one other thing too that I'll briefly touch on that I was interested in, and I don't there wasn't really that much interest or discussion about it. It was something that was kind of like a Q&A question that Steven touched on a little bit, like that someone asked if like can people kind of like sabotage or commit like acts of like sabotage, maybe to like start a war, maybe to prevent a war, maybe to like slow down the other group. And he did say that there is potentially that possibility, right? With these nodes that are going to war and like, you know, they need certain resources. Like, so you might have people like going behind into other nodes and, hey, maybe you have to gather a bunch of item X. And so maybe you go into that node and you know, if you know they need that, then you kill them or steal the resources that they need. And so like that can kind of like slow things down. But I just thought it was pretty cool. Nothing really in depth to go into that, but I love anytime there's like potential for like, you know, going behind enemy lines and like messing things up. And I think Node Wars might have some opportunities for that, which is exciting.
Yeah, they're thinking about it, which is cool. So wait to see. Can't wait to see what they cook up.
Yeah. And this is just I want to quote Steven on this because I think we're going to spend some time in June really kind of digging into like, you know, the economics of Ashes of Creation, digging into like, you know, crafting, artistship, something that I'm really excited for. I'm excited, super excited for PvP. So this was a great one for me. And the other one that I'm really interested in is coming up too. But one other thing, too, I did want to mention was something that I had a little bit of concern about, which was they did say there is some planned protections for Zergs, right? Which, if you're not familiar with the MMO space, right, Zergs are usually just giant death balls of people, right? If you've ever played like a faction v faction game or just, you know, wide scale kind of PvP, you know, Zergs are just like, hey, like we've got a ton of people and we're going to cause chaos, or, you know, maybe we just have a ton of people and you don't. So we're just going to kind of run through you as a result, and things that can kind of happen as a result of that. They did mention some protections in place, right, for the Zergs, right, that they have some ideas of maybe like potentially having different objectives spread out through like a node, and that can kind of like spread people out, maybe just kind of disperse the Zerg. But I still am a little bit worried about that. I feel like right now their kind of protections are, hey, like maybe we can hopefully spread people out, and, you know, that'll kind of take care of like the big Zerg balls that you kind of run into that just kind of clean everybody up and kill everybody. But I do still worry, like, just in terms of pure balancing, like, hey, what if one node has, you know, 500 people online that day and the other has, you know, 300 people, and, you know, you're just basically getting run through, even if they are kind of spread out a little bit. So that is something I'm a little bit worried about. I hope maybe, you know, again, testing will obviously kind of help us with this, but I hope maybe there's some other protections they might think about in the future as well.
Yeah, the one thing they mentioned was the spread out objectives. Like, if you're just going to stay in a Zerg the whole time, you may actually lose that battle because you need to spread out. And if you don't, you could Zerg them, but you're going to be slower and lose. But, yeah, that was just one of the ideas they threw out, which is a fine idea, obviously. But I guess over time, we'll hopefully see them address this more if it becomes more of an issue. I don't think they should really tackle this too much in an alpha, obviously, but they are thinking about it, which is a positive. It's a good thing that they're thinking about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's just something, you know, because in some ways, like I have memories of like in like Dark Age of Camelot, like in PvP, like Zergs could be a thing, you know, where you're just completely outnumbered, like in PvP, and like, you know, that led to some really interesting moments, like whether it's you're like keep getting siege and you're just outnumbered and like you kind of like come from behind, or you take the, you know, the defensive advantage and that benefits you. And you know, those can lead to some really fun moments when you're like fighting a Zerg, but it can also lead to some really unfun moments where it just feels like, you know, there's literally nothing I can do. They just have more people online. I can't do anything about this. And that's the thing that kind of sucks. And again, I don't want it to be just instance PvP. I don't like instance PvP that much, but hopefully, again, they keep kind of thinking these like more outside the box, like, hey, like we can spread people out. Maybe there's like some things you can do, like, again, like sabotage or behind them in lines, things you could do to like, you know, mitigate Zergs, or maybe there's some downside too to being in a Zerg, right, that, you know, we haven't seen yet. But yeah, just something to think about. I'm not worried about it. Again, I do think Alpha will help kind of give us maybe some idea of this and how things will kind of play out in the grand scale of things. But just something on my mind for sure.
Yeah, it should be on everyone's mind. But I don't, like I said, in alpha, I'm not too sure. Like I said, the fact that they mentioned it is a plus to me. That the fact that they, it's in the back of their minds too. But it's just not something really to focus on because the game's not finished yet. But as you get to those beta stages, or even later in alpha stages, if it becomes too much of a problem, they may start like addressing it.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of like the last, there really is no point to make. I love that Steven said this, so I want to kind of highlight it, where he just said, like, towards the end, like, hey, crafters are the shit, and they're gonna, a lot of the game is gonna revolve around what they can do. So that's really cool, whether it's like building siege equipment, or whether it's, providing weapons for, they mentioned, like, providing weapons for like the kind of NPC mercenaries that are guarding your node, like that can make them better. So like, I just love the fact that it sounds like, artisans and crafters are gonna be a lot more involved, when the thing's happening in it. So I just love that he said that. I didn't really have anything much further myself, but I thought it was cool.
I'm for this 100%. The WoW had a pretty dull crafting system forever, and like it's still nowhere near as good as I think it could be. But like having a deep player-run economy is something I love a lot. So sign me up as always. Just I just want to see everything you can do. I'm just like I it's just like. I don't know, it's just a player run economy is just fun to me because then you can there's just so much more to it. You don't it's not like, oh, there's 9 million blacksmiths on my server that can make all these items, right? I mean, I'm sure there'll be multiple, but it's like maybe you'll be unique in some way. Like WoW, it's not too much depth to it. They added more recently, but it's not too crazy depth wise, so
Yeah,
sign me up.
for sure. And we'll dig more into it in June, when we kind of talk about some of these things, the economy and crafting and all that. But yeah, I've said it before, but like Star Wars Galaxies, which was a true pure player run economy, had just it just led to so many cool events and so many interesting situations that result from players really taking control of the economy and being kind of the force behind them. But yeah, I think that kind of hit on mostly everything that we kind of highlighted. Is there anything that you anything else you wanted to mention? I will say, just for me, like I really liked the combat. Like I thought it was really good. Obviously, there's still work. They know about optimization. They mentioned it several times. They know about like network issues, right? They said that's a big focus for them before Alpha 2 releases, that they want to kind of focus in on some of that stuff. But just overall, like it was really fun. Like when they were kind of jumping around player to player, that I thought was really cool. Just like abilities were dropping, and like the fighter was whirlwinding, and like I love getting to see like the rangers, like kind of taking advantage of we really got to see like the vaulting system, on display. They would like climb up on top of rocks or get into like some cheeky spots, and like that was really cool. So I don't know, just kind of getting to see this large scale combat was actually, I think, a lot of fun. So that was something that too that I wanted to mention that was on our list, but I loved it. I don't know if you had anything as well, but
Oh, I mean, like I said, combat is everything in a game, and like I said, like I said, there's still some issues there, but it's an alpha. It's like not, it's pretty fluid, but like I said, they just gotta iron out some kinks, and it looks fine to me, very playable. What the new animations were great too, don't you think?
The I know a lot of people in chat were saying like the running animations look different. I thought they did. There was kind of like a lean in, which I thought looked really good. Just kind of like the fluidity of it as well. Sometimes it's kind of weird, like animations make such a big difference to me, even more than like graphics. When you see like a character like looking smooth and kind of natural, like in the animations, like to me it just makes such a, I don't know, just a better feel to the game, like a much more immersive feeling when animations look good. So that was really cool. We saw, I know you mentioned seeing an ability that was pretty cool that I thought you liked to. I don't know if you want to mention that, but
Which?
the wall.
Oh, the wall. Yes. The summoning. So, the wall that tanks apparently can summon that actually blocks LOS, which was pretty crazy. The big red wall you see throughout the video. I thought that is really cool ability. I mean, I haven't played every MMO. It might have been in another MMO, but the fact that they can just summon something that blocks LOS. Kind of like the tanks could like walk up to their healers. I think it blocks both sides LOS, so you gotta be careful how you use it. But I think that's a cool way of It's just like summoning cover, or you know, I guess if your healers are getting deleted by a ranged unit, just go summon a wall over by them strategically or something, give them a little protection.
It seemed to block physical movement too, which is kind of a big
deal. It does block physical movement. I don't know if you could vault over it. I don't think I saw that, but that'd be kind of cool if you could. But I saw people trying to jump and like fire abilities over it in the video.
No, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. And like, I mean, we both play Overwatch, like, you know, like stuff like a bay wall, or like putting like a shield behind like somebody can like mess them up. And so like there's, I could imagine there being like a lot of potential for, you know, cool things can do if you're smart.
You can use it defensively and offensively. Maybe someone, fighter like blitzes in, right? And you just wall him off.
Right.
Kind of like, oopsies. Kind of like May wall from Overwatch.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan charges in and you're like, oops, walled him off from his whole team. They have to shoot the wall.
Yep. That's.
But actually, one of the things, when we get back to, just want to bring up one more thing, wasn't implemented yet, but they didn't mention it, is that each side's mayor has a dragon, which is really cool, and it can do attacks and dive bombs. But you gotta be the way they showed it off, made is like, people would be like, when you first think of like, oh no, flying mouse, like if you're a long time WoW player, you're like, yeah, that ruined world PvP. It definitely did. But the way they used a dragon in the only one person per side had it, which is good. The way they used a dragon was really cool, because you had to be kind of, strategic with it, because the only way you couldn't just sit up in the air, and you could sit up in the air and give information, I guess, but like if you wanted to do damage or actually use the dragon in combat, you had to do a dive bomb. So that put you in like a big pack of enemies, and for the video they didn't kill it because the animations and stuff weren't done, and there's some other things. You can actually Grand Theft Dragon, apparently, so if the mayor is not keeping an eye on his dragon, someone can just, on the other side, can just go, you know, steal it. So that's what one thing that I thought that was pretty cool. And I like the fact that they have flying, but, you know, it's limited to the mayors. But it seems like if you want to actually use those powerful abilities like dive bombing, you're taking a huge risk. You could, you know, you're dragging. If the other team's good enough, they could all focus the rider, kill him, and then the other side has two dragons because they steal it, or they just outright kill the dragon. So it's not like you just can't, you know, go. You can't sit up in the air. I guess you can, but it seems like it's better to use the dragon and do some dive bombs, but you got to use it strategically and smart without, you know, I think it's a good way to introduce aerial combat without it being beyond broken or overpowered, where you just like are sitting up in the air wailing on like the dragon doesn't breathe fire on everyone, and maybe they'll add it, but like it's got to be within range of being attacked back or something. It's not so broken it's like annoying.
No, yeah, I thought it looked good. Like it seemed pretty balanced. The fact that only mayors kind of had access to them, that you didn't have like 50 people flying around. Like, I mean, it looked really cool too. Just like, you know, he was kind of like, you know, planning out, all right, I'm gonna dive bomb here. So there's kind of like that strategic element, and then like he would kind of like try to like get out really quickly too. So like you probably couldn't be like, you know, killed, because they said the rider could be killed as well as, you know, potentially the dragon. So you're gonna
Killed. They both can be killed. They specifically didn't do it for this show off, because it wasn't ready to be shown. They didn't have a death animation. They didn't have some certain things in to do it. So the dragon can be killed. The rider can be killed, obviously, and you can steal the thing. Like, you could choose to just target maybe the rider and steal the dragon, which, and then would be a huge buff for the other side, because then they have two dragons, and their dive bombs did a lot of damage. So they're pretty strong, but they obviously have some weaknesses, so you got to use them. Like I said, a lot of strategy involved in what we saw, which is great. I hate just like mindless stuff where, you know, if the dragon was just sitting like 50 feet up in the air breathing fire and no one could attack it. I mean, I don't like that kind of stuff. It's not fun. So the fact that they're making it engaging is a huge plus.
Yeah, I think like a balance of skill, we saw a lot of like that, and a balance of strategy, both on like a, you know, a tactical level, like using your abilities and, you know, playing your class, but also kind of like on a higher level, like, hey, let's attack here, or let's attack with this. I think it really adds a lot of good depth to the game. But Yeah, that was everything that I kind of wanted to hit on. Is there anything else before we kind of wrap up here?
Not really. Steven did answer the fact that vassal states cannot right now go to war with their parent node, which we did theorize on would be kind of cool.
No civil war.
I understand why he wouldn't want this to be a thing in the game, because I mean technically you're a vassal state and you already lost that war.
Right.
You still get the benefit of your, you know, big daddy node. So
parent,
it's not
yeah.
like you're your parent node. You don't lose out. But and that would have been cool, but I could see how much chaos that could cause. He did hint that maybe vassals could declare war on other vassals, so like kind of smaller type of things maybe the parent is not involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So but that won't be in at launch. He said maybe an expansion, so we're already teasing expansions here.
Yeah,
but it's a cool idea. I understand it would take a lot of work to implement, and you know, even if it doesn't, even when he says expansion, it could just be like a patch. He said it'd be something to be cool to implement, maybe if the fighting gets kind of boring, like to mix it up a bit.
Yep.
Which is fine. So I just wanted to point that out. And then, yeah, I mean, again, another win of a dev stream. Everything's progressing really well. You can see the progress every time. The openness and thoughtfulness of the devs, where they really, like, they address a lot of my questions without me having to ask them during the live stream, is great. It just shows... Like I said, people will bash Ashes, you know, for being in development for a long time, but they're thinking about all the problems ahead of time, which is great, because games, MMOs in this day and age need to launch in a good state or people are going to abandon them really quick. And I mean, it just shows that how ahead of the curve they are for development with Ashes. Like they understand that Zergs are a problem, even though they're not, you know, working on those systems right now. Right. But, you know, they're aware of what player concerns are, without almost kind of like, I mean, I'm sure people have asked these questions to them, but it's just like they answered a lot of questions I had when we, I think before we even, it just shows how in touch, I guess we're to say, or they are with their community and with MMOs in general, because they are aware of these issues. And that's, it just, like I said, it's just another win again for Intrepid and the Ashes team.
Yeah, I definitely I think it showcases just they really do care about like player getting feedback from their, you know, potential players, and they care about like what people are thinking about. And so I think it obviously demonstrates that when they kind of like, you know, touch on a lot of the big issues I think a lot of people are worried about. And so that's, to me, that's a good thing. So
it's an absolute great thing, because you, like I said, a lot of people who are playing games don't think about these issues. And it's like the fact that they're aware in an alpha state is great. Like I said, Steve mentioned Baldur's Gate 3 during a stream for cuts. Like, we're talking a little bit about cutscenes. And the reason why Baldur's Gate 3 is so good, even though I'm not a CRPG fan, I still bought the game because, you know, I wanted to speak with my wallet and support those types of games. It, like I said, Ashes is a passion project, and the community is hugely involved. Usually, I'm not going to say this with certainty, but usually games with this much openness in development and feedback and engaged developers are usually end up pretty good. We can already see a lot of that because, like I said, the devs are very engaged. They're all over social media. They're on the Discord. I mean, they listen to other people. They may even listen to our podcast, Pipe Dream. But, you know, it just shows they're actually trying to make a game not only that they want to play, but their community wants to play, and that they're passionate about it. And that's usually what makes good games in these days. In Baldur's Gate 3, you could see all the passion from Sven, you know, when he would cosplay and, you know, talk about his game. He was so passionate about his game, and look where that landed, Baldur's Gate 3. So, you know, that's, I'm kind of feeling that, but I don't want to say it too soon. I'm feeling that vibe from Ashes in terms of like the passion from the team. So I just hope it keeps going in this direction.
Yeah, I think we've seen more and more games kind of starting to realize like, oh, player feedback can actually be really useful. And I don't think that was as much as the case in the past, because there just wasn't a lot of ways to interact with the community like there are today, right? You have social media, you have forums, you have all types of ways you can interact with people. But also, I think, you know, a lot of games that have like really committed to community feedback, right, have really blossomed and sometimes turned it around or, you know, just really committed themselves to, you know, improving the product, right? I think Diablo 4, obviously, a very recent example.
Diablo 4, yeah, you could go into No Man's Sky. It launched pretty bad, but, I mean, they've committed to the game and kept... I mean, you could say what you want about the game. You may not like it, but, you know, the devs have committed to developing that game and they're still pumping out updates to it all these years later. You got to give them credit for at least turning that game around and fixing it and still... you know, supporting it, what, 8 years later or something?
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about it at launch. It's you know, I mean, obviously games shouldn't launch like that, but, you know, they fixed it and are continuing to support it. So, you know, they get a huge props from me.
Yeah, and just good to already see that early on from the Intrepid Studios and in Ashes, because I think it's already led to good things. Like, they've already been, like, getting a lot of feedback from like their forums and from various means, and I think we've already seen, like, you know, because one of the big issues early on through like Alpha 1 and like even like the Battle Royale they had was like, oh, the combat just doesn't feel that like fluid, doesn't feel great, and I feel like they've really addressed like that issue among, you know, others. Yeah. Too, but
Steven even said it in one of his streams. He said Alpha 2 is because of the disappointing feedback to Alpha 1's combat or the Battle Royale's combat. It's like they redid the entire combat for the game. So, I mean, they clearly care, and it's definitely pays off. I mean, what I'm seeing is pretty darn good. And in my opinion, it's like a quality. Like I said, it's a little because it's alpha. It's not 100% fluid yet, but it's got that baseline of fluidity there, and they just got to optimize it for. By the time launch comes around, it'll be great.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. I think we'll wrap it up there. And again, this hopefully this episode should be going out a little bit earlier. Again, with these developer update videos, I want to try to get a video out as quickly as possible. That way, you all can you know, it'll be fresh in everyone's mind and get some reactions and some of the things we think and some of the things we saw. Again, next week, I think the plan is again to start to kind of dig into the economy. I'm kind of planning it as like a economy overview. We'll probably just very broadly touch on some of the major things we'd like to see, kind of like things we know based on like whether Steven said it or it's in the wiki, and then we'll maybe dive into like some of the subtopics within it as well, and kind of, you know, talk about some things you can expect to see there. So hopefully that'll be a lot of fun, but I'm excited for it for sure. And we are, of course, available on YouTube. And if you do listen to us there, subscribe, like, comment. We love to hear what you have to say. If you have suggestions for future videos or if you have questions you want us to answer with all our MMO experience, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Please join our Discord as well. Again, that is in the description below, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast service of choice if you're listening there. And yeah, we'll go ahead and leave it there. Appreciate you. We're, you know, getting excited like we are for this developer update and all the things that are coming around the corner in Alpha 2. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, that Alpha 2 is getting close. 1 month till quarter 3 starts. See you soon. See you next week.
Let's go.